Mondas podcast.
Hello and welcome to Mondas Podcast. Hope you're good. We're going to be talking about Peter Capaldi and all sort of related shenanigans. First up, I'd like to tell you about Into the Dark Dimension, a fan project that's got a Facebook page. It's a fan page for the production of the unproduced 1993 special Into the Dark Dimension. They're looking for actors, so I thought let people know about that. I'm really intrigued. It's going to be out on the anniversary, so it was a shame that it never actually got made and we got Dimensions in Time. But obviously, yeah, they're doing a fan production. It sounds really interesting, so check that out. Into the Dark Dimension, and that's on Facebook. So now we're going to be talking to Danny Davis, Paul Wilson, and Phil Cannon, all about Peter Capaldi being the new Doctor. So first up, Danny. Enjoy.
So obviously I mentioned it by text, but it looks like Matt's filmed his regeneration, the word on the street is, and it's going to be a Capaldi proper Christmas episode. Does that excite you then?
It kind of does. It kind of does. It's not confusing. It's not the order in which we were all expecting this to be, like that last Eccleston episode, I guess, weren't we, with a wee, like about 15 seconds of the new boy at the end. But yeah, if we get a whole episode with the new guy at Christmas, it kind of makes sense. And frankly, were I about to leave the show, I'd totally leave on the 50th anniversary.
It's a good time to go, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it just kind of makes all kind of sense. So from a production point of view, it's kind of start the next half century with a new guy. Yeah.
Don't you wish sometimes they would stop lying to us? You know, because Matt Smith's not bad liar when it's in print, but when it comes to actual interview, he looked like someone who's had an affair and he couldn't look them in the eye.
I kind of thought because he. I just kind of read that as him perhaps being emotionally a bit weird about the whole thing. I think part of him is, I mean, it must be such a huge thing to walk away from. But yeah, you're right. There's a certain sense of, you can't really look us in the eye and say that, can you?
And I know in this sort of instance, you wouldn't be sacked from a job. It would be your choice to leave.
Yeah.
But I almost got the sense of, like, he probably, like, was a bit drunk one night. He said, I'm going to leave. And then the next morning just thought, oh, and they went, right, okay, you're leaving now. And he got that. I got that impression of kind of like, he almost thought, I don't know if I want to go, you know, and now
I've made the right choice.
Yeah.
I've said something a bit foolish and now I have to live up to it.
And I've shaved my head now and everyone's going to think I look stupid. And
it just all seems like he just had a massive bender one night. He just went out, shaved his head, quit Doctor Who, as do we all, you know.
And he texts Gillen as well. Do you fancy shaving your head as well? She's like, yeah, I'm up for that.
So they're all in on it. They sit in a little shed in Hollywood and exchange wigs now.
Wow, it is interesting because I think Capaldi. I mean, I don't know that much about him. I've seen him here and there and all that, you know. But to me, he had the good. He has the sort of mannerisms and the sort of voice that I can imagine being a good sort of eccentric, quite commanding and quite dark at times as well, sort of doctor, which is good, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got. I've been the phrase that I've used in the 25 hours that this has been public knowledge, I may have repeated this to death, but what I've liked about him is that he's a really nice counterpoint to Matt Smith. Like, Matt Smith was a younger guy who seemed like a much older guy. Peter Capaldi is 55, but he has qualities of kind of sprightliness and youthfulness about him, which is that mix is what you want from the Doctor, and that sense that he could kind of go in any direction. The kind of, he could do the kind of levity and the fun, but he could also bring something a lot darker.
was on the front of the Metro today and it said sweary doctor. And I was just thinking, do they think he's going to be effing and jeffing? Come on.
Yeah, I can really see the BBC opening up their flagship family drama to hours and hours and hours of four-letter words. I can really see that happening. It's just
beeps everywhere.
Yeah, basically. Beep, Dalek. Beep. Yeah. It's we're gonna have months of the Malcolm Tucker memes, aren't we? We're gonna have all the Malcolm Tucker memes going right up until probably even into his first couple of episodes. It's interesting, isn't it? Because this is the first time that we've had Eccleston. No, with Eccleston, it was reintroducing the character. So, and I suppose, I mean, he had a fair old career going into it, but nothing iconic in the way of Malcolm Tucker or anything like that. So, and perhaps the fact that he was the first one back after the hiatus, we was kind of thinking, well, what the hell's this going to be like? You know, baggage wasn't necessarily an issue.
Some people, talking about baggage, some people think that it's going to be a short stay for him because of the magnitude of who he is, that he wouldn't stay in the show for a long time.
He's been a fan since the year dot, hasn't he?
You should assume that he'll be there for maybe three seasons or whatever. You know?
Yeah, I think, three years seems to be the optimum. It's the old Trout and three, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And you can tell that it almost becomes a standard now because, you know, it's a hard slog at the end of the day being the doctor. As much as you can be a fan of it, actually doing it day in, day out.
It's like 9 months of your year in Cardiff and it's constant, and then there are all the other things attendant with playing the role. So it's a lot of work. And even if it's the thing that you've wanted to do since you were a wee lad, It's a lot actually doing it, I guess. So 3 years, and it just seems to be kind of 3 years seems to be the kind of tipping point where, like, first year you're kind of introducing that version of the Doctor. Second year it's like, yeah, we're doing this properly. Third year sometimes is where some of the creaks get in. Not that Matt Smith ever was, in terms of his performance, like, especially creaky, but I think the writing wasn't so great last time round. In places, so maybe that's where. Yeah, it's just it's good to have a change, and we get to change the lead actor in this pretty frequently. So we get to renew it. So I guess it's one of the cool things about it.
I think we really need to talk about the elephant in the room. That bloody show introducing it, or
yeah,
I mean, you know, X Factor, the voice does Doctor Who palaver. You know,
rows and rows of people sitting in BBC TV Centre or wherever the hell it was. I kept expecting Mr. Blobby and Noel Edmonds to come out. It felt like Noel's house party.
Well, you say that with, like, Rufus having to be gunged after his Eggleston.
I felt for him. I really felt for him. As a person that often gets his facts wrong myself, it's kind of, yeah, he'd be absolutely sort of kicking yourself. It sort of speaks to a kind of like a perceived pedantry in any fandom, really. Yeah, he got a couple of bits wrong. I suspect he was slightly nervous, to be honest. It doesn't mean that he doesn't enjoy the show. Yeah. I guess, you know, it's not an exam, but yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, I suppose. I mean, it's not these bloody dangling TARDISes and oh god,
Zoe
and
Zoe
Ball. What is she doing other than waiting by the phone these days?
I've got to apologise. I shouldn't know this, right? But I do know this through other people, not me, she does some sort of Strictly Come Dancing programme.
Oh, for God's sake.
So that's how I know. Because, you know, I wanted all ex-Doctor Who people in it.
Yeah.
That's all I want. I want is like Colin Baker Davison. I want Nicola Bryan presenting or something, something like that. That would be great.
See, but I mean, it was kind of random. It was great they had Bernard Cribbins there because he's a genuine national treasure.
Yeah,
Peter Davison, obviously he's the Fifth Doctor, but Lisa Tarbuck and Ben out of Outnumbered.
I think the budget went near the end.
What, did they pay him in Haribo or something? I don't know. I think they then got him on because he has kind of like Tom Baker hair, I guess. I don't know. But
they could have at least given us a 50th anniversary trailer.
Now, this is what I would have loved to have seen. Because, yeah, the BBC were not entirely honourable, were they? They showed that trailer at Comic-Con, which I understand you have to have as an exclusive. But the convention is that you show it there, you give it like 48 hours, and then you put it online, and I don't see any harm in that.
No.
To be honest. Unless it's just, I mean, like, and Moffat is unusually, not unusually, he's very protective of things getting out. And, I mean, like, we only found out about the Zygons because, I guess, because people would have photographed it. Yeah. People would have found where they're filming. So, like, they only say things when they absolutely have to. I totally respect, but if there's like a trailer, come on, you know.
But it would have been the perfect time to show, wouldn't it?
Really, really would have. Although, I mean, like, it was also kind of, it was very much about, it's very much about the new guys. So it's I guess it's a kind of careful balance, isn't it? Because, you know, there was the little interview clips with Matt Smith and then Moffat, you know, lying as he does. And then, so yeah, like 5 minutes at the end of Peter Capaldi.
I thought they were going to do it with Alice Sherlock because I watched the repeat of the final Sherlock on Friday.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, they obviously put the
trailer. Yeah, the little all we got out of that was there are doors and John Watson has a moustache for inexplicable reasons.
Teaser trailer, you see, that's what you want. It'll teaser.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for that, and I could be wrong, but if I remember at the end of this one, all we got was that puppet show thing.
Literally called, for international viewers, that puppet show thing. They were burning more than the midnight oil. They were burning, they burned everything in sight to come up with that.
What was them? Because I think it was Phil was talking about on Facebook. Phil Cannon, was it Chase the Hare or something? What was that?
Don't scare the hare. That was an ayahuasca vision that we all shared. I think it was a really dull one. It was the world's dullest shamanic vision. It was a puppet. It was, I think they thought they were being incredibly surreal and entertaining, and it was just like your dog had somehow done a painting. Just improbable and wrong. weird stuff, man. But that's Saturday night BBC when Doctor Who went on.
That's true. So after Christmas special, it looks like it's going to be autumn for the next first series, like the first series proper for Capaldi, doesn't it?
So they're moving it back to, so Moffat's moved to put it back in the classic slot when it's dark.
Sounds like it, yeah, like that's a plan.
But that's so much of, like, Hyde was, when was Hyde shown? That was spring, wasn't it? Series 7B was in the spring, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so much of that would have been just better in the dark. I just really think it's better than that. And also, I mean, like, he's got Sherlock season 3. There's a season 4 as well, isn't there? So there's timing and everything. But so it's going to be a long old wait. But, you know, we've waited before. I think we kind of, you know, it was 18 months between seasons of Sherlock, isn't it?
Yeah, it must be about that.
Yeah.
The final question I was going to ask you, what do you think in terms of younger viewers who have come into it not that long ago or used to a young actor taking the part, who are critical of the appointment of Capaldi? Do you think it's a bit short-sighted of people? And can you understand it in any way?
I can kind of understand it. It's a bit of a shame, but it's kind of what it seems to have done is actually, I think it's kind of starting to drive a little bit more of a wedge between the like the classic fans and the younger fans, which is really sad because it's all the same show. And if you just cater to the older fans, then where are new people coming in? It's kind of weird. There's a lot of stuff being kind of, there's that video, isn't there, of that young girl?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, there's a lot of kind of chat about the young female fans supposedly not really being into it because Peter Capaldi isn't 25 and, you know, and hunk. Some of it feels a little condescending, and I'm not comfortable with it. I mean, yeah, there is an element of that, but I think that it, in classic Doctor Who fandom style, you hear a lot of people complaining that will watch the show anyway, and then they may complain after because they perhaps are in an abusive relationship with Doctor Who and can't leave. That strain of fandom does. They'll complain and complain and complain, and they'll still watch it just so they can complain and be upset by all the things that Moffat's done. Undoubtedly there will be an element of that, and that is kind of sad, because you kind of hope that people perhaps are kind of drawn in for one element and stay for all the others, because there's a lot to love about it. But we'll see. All I'm seeing at the moment, kind of online. I haven't seen a lot of this personally, but I'm led to believe that it's mostly Tumblr, where the kind of the most of this sort of complaining that Peter Capaldi is older and less of an hunk than the youngsters would apparently. See, I'm being condescending myself. I haven't really seen a lot of it firsthand. I mean, and I think it is a lot of nonsense. And I've actually seen a lot of people, kind of the younger fans, saying that that's nonsense, and saying just give it a chance. So hopefully, you know. What I've also seen is a kind of a slight sort of glee in some of the older fans going, "Oh, we're weeding out an element of the fandom that we don't like." Well, it's not just yours. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you can't learn to share your toys, then you shouldn't have them. Shouldn't have them. Shouldn't have them. Shouldn't have them.
So, how's everything going in terms of your podcasts, plans, and schemes?
Oh man, I keep making new podcasts. There's a new sketch show coming from Geek Planet Online. I'm sort of in the middle of editing the pilot off with Dave Probert and Matt Dillon and Marty from the Bearcast and Gillian from Babylon Project, called Near Mint. And that's coming to geekplanetonline.com hopefully as soon as I can get the rest of these sketches edited. And then I've got Dusty Vikings, which is me chat show. I decided that I needed a chat show because I can have one. And then I can ask questions that other people then ignore and answer their own.
What's your Twitter handle that you've got to tell people about as well?
Yeah, it's at DannyDavies23.
So, in terms of Capaldi, are you happy?
Yeah, I mean, interesting choice. I actually didn't think they'd go for someone older. I thought they'd want someone who's a bit more young and marketable. I think it's a brave and interesting choice.
Yeah, so had you heard the rumours that it was actually going to be him beforehand?
Yeah, I had heard them speak, you know, some people speaking about it, but I didn't put any stock into it. As I said, I thought, judging by the current trend, they'd want someone a little bit younger, someone for, you know, someone marketed, as I said, young and marketable. Not that he isn't marketable, but, you know, if you have a generation of people who are growing up on a younger doctor who may be expecting that this is something that would be something rather left of field. So I didn't put any stock in it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I've heard there's been a bit of a backlash because he is older and he's not this sort of cool 20-something by younger fans, as you were saying, like new Who sort of fans. So, but to me, I think it's a good move. I think we've been wanting, I think, an older doctor, someone a little bit different, I think. And if it had been a woman, that would have been fine as well. You know, older woman, it would just, I think it's always got to keep evolving, Doctor Who would still get it right. Because if they get it wrong with a cast and it's screwed, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I doubt very much they would have gone for a woman doctor. I think there's certain rules in certain universes that, you know, even in fictional universes, you kind of want to try and stick to, although there's no written rule that one can't regenerate to another sex. I think it's something that, I don't know, who knows? Maybe one day they will. I mean, they still have to get around the regeneration rule anyway, don't they?
Yeah, it's not something that's going to be easily overwritten by a little mention in Sarah Jane Adventures, as people think it will be. They'll actually have to properly address it, you know.
Well, interestingly, I remember many, many years ago, when I was much younger, we had a debate about this, and one of the debates was that if you have a look at the Morbius stories, Brain of Morbius, two things happened there. Number one, in the Brain of Morbius, there's a scene where you see the Doctor going back over his regenerations, and then you get to who we think is the first Doctor, and we start seeing these other people who, you know, that we've never seen before. So it could well have been that the Doctor that we thought was the first Doctor was not the first Doctor, so number one. So maybe the Doctor had hit his 12th regeneration earlier. But because he died in the Brain of Morbius and was brought back to life, maybe his regenerations were reset. Another theory I'd heard and discussed was 12 sort of regeneration thing was more a guideline than an actual law, you know, because it's not unheard of the Time Lords resetting regenerations. Look at the Master.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, the Master's obviously a good example as well. Yeah. I think they will write their way out of it. Obviously, have to, because I mean, we don't know what the future is. You know, we don't know how long the show's going to run for. So who knows? You know, how did you feel about the whole kind of the voice X Factor style presentation of unveiling the Doctor Who? Did you find it a little bit anticlimactic, a bit odd?
Yeah, I thought the whole thing was very strange. I mean, we're sitting here watching it, and my wife and I were sitting here watching it and talking about it, and we just thought, you know, all this rubbish, just tell us already. You know, I'm not really that interested in all this other rubbish that goes on. But it's for a younger audience. You know, I'm, you know, an old man. this sort of game show spectacular thing is geared at a younger person, I guess. I mean, it's an interesting build up. It's the whole thing's very odd that it's such big news. You know, it never was before, but you know, now it's front page of the Times.
I mean, Confidential, I think, worked really well with the old Matt Smith unveil, and I think Confidential or some sort of equivalent of Confidential would have worked better. It used to be on BBC News, announced on their sort of thing. There was never need for a half-an-hour programme, and people are talking about the ratings for a programme that was announcing the Doctor. That, you know, you could never have thought of something like that. You know, when I first got into Doctor Who, it was the late 80s. That would never have happened then, a programme about Sylvester McCoy being unveiled, you know.
It was a very, very odd thing. You know, it was odd that they did a trailer for a show that was going to announce the front runner or the star of another program. The whole thing was very strange, but, you know, it was fun. It was fun, isn't it? It's just a bit of fun.
I was hoping for the 50th anniversary trailer, maybe not the Comic-Con one, but something, you know, some sort of trailer, because we got a Sherlock trailer the other day, so...
Yeah, don't get me started on that whole trailer thing.
So to me, I thought that would be an ideal opportunity to show a trailer in the middle of that to kind of get people's anticipation up ready for it anyway, you know. I don't know if you've heard as well, but the rumour that he's already filmed the regeneration, Matt Smith, and he's going in the 50th. I don't know if you've heard that.
Well, I would assume so. I mean, I thought this whole thing was filmed quite a while ago, because you know, there were photos circulating around with Matt Smith with his head shaved, and this happened a couple of months ago. So I figured. And this was before he'd announced that he was leaving. So I'd figured that he was leaving. Mm. And then when it announced that he was leaving, I figured that they've already, you know, they've already filmed his final scene. The new Doctor's already been filmed in the regeneration scene.
Yeah.
Whether it has or not, you know, we'll never know, I guess.
His interview, Matt Smith, was probably the most awkward I've ever seen him. He's normally very amiable and affable, etc. But he didn't give much eye contact and he looked really awkward. It was a very strange interview.
It was very odd, yeah. I don't know what was going on there. It seemed to me almost like he was being overly cautious not to give anything away.
I'm really pleased with it, but at the same time, it felt like a bit of an anti-climax.
Exactly, because, I felt that, yeah.
Yeah, because it was all, you know, the bookie's favourite. It just appeared out of nowhere. And you had all that when Matt Smith was cast, but nobody knew anything about Matt Smith. Everyone was thinking, oh, it's Patson Joseph. He's the new Doctor. Hmm. And, of course, when they did that special confidential and Matt Smith was sitting there, everyone's like, what? You know, they couldn't believe it. So when Capaldi was announced last night, I was like, yes. But then again, it's like, there's no surprise, is there? Because we kind of knew.
Yeah, I mean, I was still expecting that it might be some complete unknown, you know, because you're still thinking in your head, if the bookies have them down as going to be it, you think, no, it'll probably be someone we've never heard of. But
yeah,
I think you're probably more anticlimactic because of the stupid kind of game show light entertainment bollocks that was before it. Zoe Ball and all that.
I really hated that. I really did hate that. I just couldn't see the point to it. I really couldn't, because they tried out all these sort of, you know, celebrities. They just gave them a couple of minutes each to say something about Doctor Who. They might as well just said, do you like Doctor Who? Yes. Thanks very much. And just moved on, because that's about all it amounted to, wasn't it? You know, and then, but you got Peter Davison on there and you had Bernard Cribbins, and you should have given them a lot more time to chat. I mean, okay, Cribbins talked about when he was asked, he had an interview with Barry Letts and everything to take over from Pertwee, wasn't it?
Mm, yeah.
And that was interesting. You know, they've sort of gone on a bit more about that, and also sort of like, you know, talked about, you know, the Peter Cushing films as well. At least, you know, you've got someone there who's been involved with Who and then not talk about it. It's ridiculous. Just so
it was just a total waste, wasn't it, really?
It was, yeah. I just couldn't understand it. So that sort of detracted from the whole, you know, thing about the 12th Doctor being announced. It just seemed a lot of padding leading up to that moment.
I never thought we'd be at that stage where we'd have a show like that just to announce the new Doctor. It was quite surreal, wasn't it?
Well, we were just saying on, we recorded for our podcast last night, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any other show they would do this for. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even say, like, if they recast, I mean, we said if they recast Benedict Cumberbatch, if he said, I'm not doing Sherlock anymore, and they recast him, I don't think they would have that sort of programme.
No, there isn't any other programme. No, it's that such a unique programme. But I think we could have just done with a nice confidential.
Well, that's what we thought it was going to be. But again, they were just sort of pulling the wool over our eyes with that one, because they had this, they said, oh, it's going to be a special confidential to announce the docs. And I thought, this is good. You know, it worked really well for Matt Smith last time. So, you know, it's a good way to present it to the public. And then you had that whole thing about it was going to be this special on fans, and, you know, they invited people on to dress as the Doctor, and it was just for this. It was all smoke and mirrors, wasn't it?
Hmm.
It was all subterfuge, and then it was, you sort of like, well, is that it? Really? Is that all? That's all it amounted to? Was that? You know, just give us the name of the actor. That would have done, really, at the end of the day. Like they're announcing the lottery.
Well, yeah, it was very... I was waiting for Mystic Meg to appear, you know?
She's still alive, by the way.
She still does stuff in the tabloids.
Does she?
So she, it was the Sun or the Mirror or something I picked up one day, and she was still doing the old horoscope, so...
Good, Benny. I thought that was it for her. Crikey.
Did you find the Matt Smith interview incredibly awkward, how he avoided eye contact and stuff?
I did find that peculiar, especially when he was talking about, you know, like wishing Capaldi well and saying, you know, was the best man for the job, sort of thing.
Mm.
And you're right, he didn't look at the camera at all, did he?
No.
It was very, very awkward. And it just, I still think he's actually gone. I think he's done the 50th, and I don't think he is going to be in the Christmas special. I really do think that, because you had that really weird video that he did, you know, the Bob Dylan stunt video he did, saying goodbye to all the, you know, the cast and crew, and thanking the fans. Surely you would do that after the Christmas special.
Yeah, you, I think they've shot themselves in the foot slightly there, because it, you know, they do a lot of lying in the press about Doctor Who. You know, like they always said, "Oh, I'm looking forward to coming back for the Christmas special," and then you know, he said he was looking forward to filming the new series, and then he left. So
yeah,
you don't really trust these people now, do you? You know, they obviously, because they don't want to ruin the fact that he's going to regenerate in the 50th. I can understand that.
Well, I don't. I think if he does regenerate, you know, on Christmas Day, I think that's a bad time to do it, because you know, you got all the family sitting around to watch Doctor Who. They've had their Christmas dinner, they're all like, you know, a bit pissed up and whatever, and you know, he's sitting there to watch Doctor Who, and then you know, all the kids are looking forward to it, and then your Doctor dies on Christmas Day, and some new bloke guy's walking
with
off.
David Tennant pissing about for 20 minutes, whinging on about how he didn't have any generation.
Well, at least they left that to after Christmas, didn't they?
Yeah, I suppose, or just after, yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean. But I think it would be perfect timing for on the actual anniversary, really, wouldn't it? You know, for a regeneration.
Oh, I think so. It would be. I mean, even though, I mean, Christmas can be a bloody miserable time for a lot of people. So let's just add to the misery and kill the Doctor as well.
I think it was a bit of a risk casting someone who's a little bit older, because obviously some of the younger viewers seem to be in a bit of a tiz because he's not 25.
Some people have sort of commented that, well, you know, we shouldn't be commenting on the fans who say that sort of thing, but well, bollocks, you know. If all you're worried about the fact that it's an old man now playing the Doctor, you clearly don't understand the programme. And you don't understand what the character's about. So if you're just watching it because you fancy the bloke, well, fine, you won't be watching it anymore then. And it'll just have a new breed of fan. That's the thing with Doctor Who. It changes actor, and it also changes fans as well. And that's the unique thing about Doctor Who. It's not just
constantly evolving.
Yeah. It is, yeah. I mean, in fandom and with the actual show itself. So, I mean, you know, they'll find something else to obsess over. You know, and
I think it's strange how you've got that kind of, because you're a classic fan and so am I, and I think we're much more kind of like, yeah, well, you know, he is older, blah blah. But I think if you've come from, say, you start watching when Tennant was there, a lot of people seem to cling on to one Doctor and that's it. And that's what Doctor Who is inherently, is something that keeps changing all the time. And there will be drop-offs. I mean, I'm sure we lost a lot of fans when Tennant went the other day, you know.
Yeah. Oh, there was. Just, you know, they didn't want to watch it because Matt Smith was ugly. I mean, come on. You know, that is really... You're not fans of the show then if all you're interested in is what the bloke looks like.
I mean, I'm sure there are some people who only watch it because of the companion at some points as well.
It could be, especially
in the classic series, you know, people like Romana or Perry, you know, so
yeah. But it's just that thing that you sort of, because it's the Doctor, you get this like frothing at the mouth sort of fandom sort of comes to the fore, and it's sort of like, oh, okay, it'll blow over in a few weeks, you know, it'll move on to something else.
People seem to want to judge even though they've never actually seen him as the Doctor.
I find that unbelievable. I really do find that unbelievable. I know when it was sort of like rumoured that Capaldi could be taking over, they said, well, he can't be the Doctor. He plays Malcolm Tucker. He's a foul-mouthed individual. And I thought, he's an actor. That's what he does. You know, he plays different characters. And that's why he's such a good actor. I mean, they've forgotten what he did in Children of Earth.
Yeah.
He was absolutely fantastic in that. And he's fantastic in as Malcolm Tucker. So the guy's a fantastic actor. I think we're really, really lucky to have him. Really lucky.
I just think a lot of people may need your reactions because they've seen someone on something before. But as I was saying to Danny, Matt Smith, when I saw him and stuff before Doctor Who, he was nothing like the Doctor, and because he was playing a different character.
Yeah.
So it shows that he's a good actor at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's all you should have to be worried about, you know, is the person taking over, are they a good actor, or is it just a bit of stunt casting?
Mm.
And it's, you know, I'm glad to say it's the fact he's a damn good actor. And I think everyone should just be happy with that, really. But as I say, you can't please everybody all of the time, I know. But maybe I'm being a little bit too unfair to some of the some of the Johnny come latelys when it comes to fandom. But I mean, you know, it's a pretty immature way to behave, really.
The final question I was going to ask you as well, do you think it'll be a long tenure, or just because some people have speculated it might be Eccleston style thing, or do you think it'll be a 3-year thing? Or,
well, I think there seems to be the standard contract, doesn't it, 3 years, but I mean, Eccleston only signed on for 1 year and sort of like, you know, see how we go from there. We don't know what Capaldi signed up for at the moment. He could be taken on a year by year basis. It all depends how he finds the schedule. They said it's a pretty punishing schedule to do. Maybe they might go back to the. I know it's been rumoured, or not rumoured, but sort of discussed, you know, elsewhere, that he could be. We might only get 6 episodes a year, just so he can do other things.
Right.
You know, it would be interesting. I hope not. I hope we get a decent 14 episode or 13 episode run again.
But Capaldi looks pretty good for his age. But Hartnell really didn't.
well, I know the wig doesn't do Hartnell any favours. But even when you see him off, you know, off camera that time, he does look like an old man, and he's a very old looking 55. I think he must have spent his shoulder down the pit or something.
Times were tough then with the war, etc.
Exactly.
But do you want to do a little bit of publicity for Twitter and podcast, etc.?
Yeah, sure, why not? You can find us at our website, which is who's-he-podcast.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter at @who's_he_podcast. You can follow us on iTunes as well, just by searching our podcast name. And we've also got a Facebook group as well, which you can find on the website.
My best podcast.